Surely we need to finish well. Trito, that was wonderful. Actually, that goes along with what I'll be preaching today. If you have your Bibles today, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I'm excited about preaching today, but also I'm excited that next week we're going to be back in church together, back in this church house. Boy, doesn't that excite you? It'll be Mother's Day. It'll be a great day to be back. And this week we'll be giving you some guidelines about how we're going to do it. We've got a plan, and we have a phased-in plan. We're going to start slowly, and we'll pick up as the conditions on the ground warrant it. And we're going to see great things. I think we're ready for revival. I think we're ready for a move of God that we haven't seen in a long time in this country. And I believe it's going to be great. So if you got your Bibles today, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. This is on my heart. And I want to preach it. I'm going to read most of this chapter. And I hope you follow me. There's some great stuff here. Oh, boy, I can't hardly wait to preach. I better not get ahead of myself. The Bible said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Listen to this passage. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not cast down. Hallelujah. And not destroyed. Hallelujah. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are all always delivered unto the death of Jesus' sake, that the life also Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith. According to it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. Glory to God. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward body perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Our Father, right now I pray that you anoint me as I preach this message. God, I need your power. I need to preach like I've never preached before. This is a critical message for a critical time. Lord, I pray now that you'll touch the lost. You said if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Lord, open their eyes today. Lord, touch Christians that are ready to quit, that are ready to not finish well. Touch them today, and we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. The theme of this chapter is found in verse 1 and verse number 16. The theme is that we ought not to faint, that we ought to finish well. You know, it's good that you started well. It's good that you have done well. But I want you to know something, friend. There's a goalpost out there one day. There's a finish line out there one day. There's a place where it's all going to end one day, and I don't want to stop. I don't want to finish until I am finished, and I don't want to quit, and I want to finish well, and I'm heading toward the mark. But if I faint, even right here, 3 feet from the goalpost, I failed. I've messed up. I'll disappoint many. I'll be a disappointment to myself. I'll be a disappointment most of all to God. I want you to know I'm going to preach this morning on what happens when a believer faints. Just what will happen if you don't keep on keeping on. What will happen if you stop? If you stop praying? If you stop giving? If you stop attending church? If your marriage breaks up and your life becomes a ruin? What will happen when you faint? In this passage of scripture, it shows us about 4 things that would cause fainting. In verse number 8 and 9, first of all, pressure. The Bible says this, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Man, we're under pressure. Hey, this coronavirus has got us under pressure. Hey, there's people right now, you're listening to me, you're trying to take shortcuts. You're trying every way in your world, to fix things yourself. And you're under pressure. You're under pressure to quit. You're under pressure not to do right. You're under pressure not to tithe. You're under pressure not supporting God's work. Oh, you're under pressure. But I want you to know something. You'll buckle under pressure if you faint. That's why it said, faint not. Then we have problems. I know there's problems. There's some of you unemployed. There's some of you small business. You feel like, what are we going to do? You've got problems. Your marriage right now, because of all the pressure and all the problems, you're just ready to crumble. Somebody help me preach right there. Yes, we have problems. Yes, we're going through it. But I want you to know I got a problem solver. I want you to know I got a God that has everything under control. I got a Jesus that is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we don't have to faint under pressure. And we don't have to faint under problems. Then he goes on to say, when we're perplexed. Boy, I'll tell you what, during this coronavirus, I feel like a termite in a yo-yo. I'm about half confused half the time because they get on the TV and tell you one thing one day and one thing another day. And I honestly think they're all crazy. And I know we're perplexed. Yes, I know we're trying to figure out how we're going to go forward. Am I going to get this virus when everything starts back up? You can't live like that. You've got to live with faith in God. You've got to live knowing that God will take you through. You can't faint. Oh, glory. And then he said, we're persecuted, but not cast down. Now, I want you to know something. I'm going to preach this. The church right now in several states has been under persecution. I mean, tell you, that governor of Kentucky, he's about half crazy. Somebody help me preach. And the one in Louisiana, a mayor down there, they're about having up Mississippi, up in Massachusetts. They're putting a crackdown on churches. They're putting pressure on churches. I mean, fining churches, putting preachers in jail. Hold a minute. I thought we were in the land of the free, in the home of the brave. I want to say this. I love Governor Justice. Brother Justice has been for the church this whole time. He's not shut the church down. There's been some churches worshiping. Now, the reason we hadn't is that we're a large church, and we just want to make sure that we keep our testimony. But it don't mean we had to shut down. We did it because we respect our governor, and we're going to do right, and we're going to be good citizens. Somebody help me. But it does not give them an excuse to persecute us. Somebody say amen. And I'm glad in West Virginia, our governor's handled this well. He's a good old boy. Whether you like him or not like him, he's handled this well, and he's a good boy, and he hadn't persecuted the church, and he's going to let us reopen. He's not going to beat us over the head with a lot of restrictions. He'll give us guidelines that we will follow. But I want you to know that's not like this all over America. And I want you to know, there are going to be some governors, there are going to be some mayors, there are going to be some people that's running for president that will put the clamp down. And by the way, you ought to thank God for President Trump, who's been friendly to the church. Somebody help me preach right there. But we may get somebody in that's not so friendly. That's why it's important to vote right. So I didn't mean to get there, Brother Jeremy, but I guess I'm just saying everything I think of right now. Somebody help me. But what happens if you faint under pressure, under problems, by being perplexed? I'll tell you what will happen. First of all, we'll see a lot of marriages break up. I'll tell you why. I want to tell you why your marriage is on the rocks. Your marriage is on the rocks. You want to know why? You want to know why? It's because you're fainting. Because you're stopping. Because you're not doing what you did when you got married. Somebody help me. Don't become another statistic. And then there's ministers fainting. I know preachers all over the country, they're quitting. You ought to thank God that you got a pastor that's been with you over 40 years, and he ain't fainting, and he ain't quitting, and he's not going to become a disgrace, because he's not going to faint. He's going to stay here when the pressure comes. He's going to stay here when there's problems. He's going to stay when there's perplexity. I want you to know, I've went this far for God, and I'm going all the way. Hello. His marriage is fainting. Ministers and members are fainting. I'll tell you what, we're having members, you know, they're falling off and getting their backslidden, getting away from God, living like a devil. You said, how'd they get like that? They fainted. So I want to preach this morning on what happens when you faint. Most of my church knows this. Some of the new ones don't know this. But for the first 25 years as pastor here, when I was 48 to 50 years old, I had a problem. I was fainting all the time. Debbie Childers, one day I fainted in my office, and she had to come in and help me. Steve Cook was with me, and we went deer hunting out in Sycamore, and was up on the hill, and he went one direction, I went another. He came looking for me, and he found me on the ground. Had sweat all over me, and I had fainted. And I was laying there with a .30-06 laying up against my head. I'd fainted. And I want to tell you what would have happened if I hadn't pulled that trigger or something happened. I would have died right there. And I was going through fainting spells. And what God done, he gave me this message. It was birthed by that fainting spell. And I want to preach it this morning. I want to preach about what happens when a believer faints. Number one. Here's what I start happening. You'll start having some complaints. Here's what you'll have happen to you. Here's what happened to me when I started passing out. I started complaining to my wife. Here's what I complained about. I said, honey, I feel like I'm weak. I feel weak all the time. I feel like, man, I just feel so weak physically. I want to tell you spiritually, when you get ready to faint, you'll start being weak. I'll tell you where you'll be weak. You'll be weak. You'll be weak in your church attendance. Oh yeah. You'll not want to come to church. You won't want to pay your tithe. Come on, help me preach right now. You'll become weak spiritually. Yes, you will. You'll stop praying. You'll stop reading your Bible. And you'll become weak. That's what happened to me. I complained of weakness. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of weakness in our Baptist churches today. We got a bunch of weak preachers. We got a bunch of weak members who have faded, who are weak spiritually. They don't have the power of God. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost of God. They're weak. And I'll tell you what else happened to me. Everything. When I started to faint, everything started looking dark. I had them little dark spots coming in my eyes. Oh, I want to tell you something. I know we're in a dark time. I know we are. I know this is a terrible thing we went through for these last 8 weeks. I know we have. But I want you to know something. If you start worrying about that, and you start complaining about the darkness, I'll tell you what you need. You need a good dose of the light of Jesus. You need a good dose of the gospel if you're lost, and a good dose of His power if you're saved. I know things are looking dark. I know things are bad. I'll tell you what else happened. Jerry, when I started to faint, I started losing focus on reality. I started getting close to being out. You know, there's a lot of people in our church, and our churches, that lost focus on reality. You want me to tell you what's real? Come on, help me. I'll tell you what's real. The Bible's real. Somebody help me preach. I still preach out of the King James Bible. It's real. It's the Word of God. I'll tell you what else is real. The blood's real. The blood will never lose its power. Thank God. We don't need to lose focus on that. I want to tell you what else is real. Bad folks, lost folks are dying and going to hell. They don't need a bunch of people that's fainted. They don't need a bunch of people that's lost it. Well, they need people that's looking to the light and living a Christian life of light. Somebody help me preach. I'll tell you what you do. You start complaining. Yeah. And I'll tell you what else you do. You start losing or you lose enthusiasm. Come on now. I tell you what, I just didn't want to do nothing. I just wanted to lay down and sit in a chair when I was going through that situation. I just lost enthusiasm. Oh, by the way, some of you lost your joy. You've let some joy robber take it away from you. Come on now. You let some critic, some judge in the church, some know-it-all get you discouraged, and now you've lost enthusiasm. You've lost your joy for God. You've lost your joy for church. You've lost your joy for serving. You've lost your joy about getting people out, keeping people out of hell. Haven't you? Haven't you? God help us. So what happened to me is that I started complaining about being weak, things looking dark, lost focus on reality, and lost my enthusiasm. Now when that stuff started happening, I'll tell you what my wife said. Preacher, you need to go to a doctor. This ain't normal. And we got to find out what the cause is. Now, I want y'all to know something. If you're a big person like me, a fat boy like me, I want to tell you what happens every time you go to doctor. You can go to a doctor for a stubbed toe. You can go to a doctor for a broken finger, and they'll tell you you're too fat. And I went to the doctor, and when I went down there, and I'll tell you what it was. He said, you're on the wrong diet. Now see, what he thought is that I had hyperglycemic. He thought I had a sugar problem. And I'll never forget going to that doctor. And he said, we need to change your diet. By the way, there's some of you on the wrong diet. If you're not dieting on the King James and you're doing an NIV or ESV or some other junk, you're on the wrong diet. You need to be in the Bible, the real Bible. And some of you are on the wrong diet with your music. That's right. You're leaning toward contemporary and rock Jesus. You're on the wrong diet. You need to get back to old-fashioned singing. Scriptural songs. Things will help you. I remember going to that Dr. Jared, and he said, we're changing your diet. And that office was busy that day. It was a bad day. And so here's what he said to me. He said, you need to eat six times a day. Well, I thought, then he had to go out. I said, well, glory to God. I thought to myself, six times? I ain't eating but three now. And a big dessert. So I thought, well, I'll just take him up on that. And one of the nurses come, did you get the doctor's order? Yeah, I said, he said, to eat six times a day. She said, yeah, that's what you got to do. And so I did. And he had me come back a week later. When I came back a week later, I was 15 pounds heavy. Man, he blew a gasket. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, you told me to eat six times a day. So I did. And about 1,500 calories a meal. He said, you're supposed to eat 250 calories six times a day. So we can regulate your sugar, make sure your sugar's right. I said, well, you didn't tell me that. You know what? There's somebody right now, I am telling you, you're on the wrong diet spiritually. I am telling you, you ought to do right. Well, good preaching, Reverend. Let me go on. I'll tell you another thing that caused me to faint. It's heat. Just like right now, I'm getting heated up. I'm sweating. Heat. I'll tell you what, I'd get hot, and it seemed like the heat would trigger this thing. And then I'd pass out, like I told you, I passed out with Steve Cook going up a mountain. Well, I went up a mountain weighing about 400 pounds, walking up that mountain. The time I got up to the top, I was hot, sweaty, and passed out. You know what heat I'm talking about? I'm talking about the heat of pressure, the heat of this world. I want to tell you what, it'll cause you to faint. That's why you need Jesus. You need a strong man. You need one to take you through. Somebody help me. That's what causes wrong diet, heat. I remember when I went to the doctor. He said, how much you walk a day? Another problem you got, you're inactive. Come on now. You're inactive. You're just not very active. He said, how active are you? I said, well, I sit behind the desk and I walk to the refrigerator four or five times a day. He said, huh? He said, I want you to start walking every day. You're too inactive. I'm going to tell you, some of you are inactive. You done laid down soul winning. You're not trying to help people out of hell. Some of you got lazy about your church attendance. Somebody help me. You're inactive about your giving. Have you given during this pandemic? Did you give before this pandemic? You are inactive. You're fainting. So I'll tell you what I done. I started out walking a half mile. Then I walked a mile. Then I walked 2 miles. And some of the boys can tell you, in church, we got up to 3.5 miles every morning. And I got active. Then I started feeling better. Then my fainting spells almost ceased. What are you saying, preacher? We need to get busy. This world needs Jesus. We need to get the gospel out. Am I preaching? Somebody say amen. Hit the like button. What else causes it? Let me show you this. I want to show you this. Look at me. I'll tell you what else caused me to pass out. And that is if you rise up too quick like that. Even today I get dizzy doing that. I just now got dizzy. If you rise up too quick. Now I'm going to give you something. There's a lot of people. And you preacher boys, I'm preaching to you right now. God's called you. God's blessed you. But you don't need to rise up too quick. You don't need to faint your Pastor John if you've just been preaching for 6 months. Somebody help me preach. See, a lot of people rise up quick to fall down quick. Instead of being a shining light, they're shooting stars. I tell you what we got to do. We got to grow gradually every day. And God will promote you. Now, let me go on. Y'all all right? Say amen. So we have the complaints. We feel weak. Things look dark. We lose focus on reality. We lose enthusiasm. Then we find the cause. We're on the wrong diet. The heat's on. We've become inactive. And we try to rise up too quick. But now, I want to talk about the characteristics of falling. How do I know I fainted? Now, Tyler's going to come down here in a moment. And I'm going to use him as an illustration in just a moment. Well, yet, Tyler, first of all, you stop functioning. See, if I passed out right now, my sermon's over. I'm stopping functioning. Some of you stop functioning. You're not functioning well in your marriage. You're not functioning well at work. You're not functioning well in the church. Yeah, you know what you've done? You fainted. And what happens is you pass out. You faint. You stop functioning. And a church that stops functioning is a powerless church. Now, come on up here, Tyler. Come on up here. Hurry up, boy. You're right here. You might want to move that chair back in case you fall down. I'll tell you another characteristic. You become a burden to other people. Instead of being a blessing, you become a burden. Help me preach, somebody. God wants me to be a blessing, not a burden. I don't want to be a Christian that has a burden. I'm a burden to somebody. I don't want to be a burden to my deacons. I don't want to be a burden to my staff. I want to be vibrant. But let me show you what happens. Tyler, put your arms out. This pandemic's made me gain some weight, okay? If it don't get over, I'm going to be 700 pounds. But let me tell you what happens to you. You feel a little bit of burden, son?
Yes, sir.
You feel a little bit of pressure?
A little bit.
I'm putting pressure on you, ain't I?
Yes, sir.
I shouldn't be, but I am. I should be an example to you. I should be a blessing to you. I should be helping you, but I'm a burden to you. You sit right there. I'll need you again, man. Hello? When you pass out, you become a burden to others. When you faint, you're a burden. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, God saved us to be a blessing. God saved us to be a joy to people. God saved us to be an example. Now, look at me. If I pass out right now, I'm up here and I got this big pulpit. And I've got stands all around me. I'll be in great danger of my surroundings. I tell you, if you pass out, you'll have to hurt yourself. Right now, if I pass out, I'll probably hit my head on this oak pulpit and bleed all over the place. I have to die. Oh, yeah. You know, there's some of you right now, you're in tough situations. Your surroundings are difficult. And you're crowded with all kind of stuff. And if you would pass out right now, you're in danger of your surroundings. And you most likely will be a casualty. And you'll most likely end up being a mess. Somebody help me preach. And I'll tell you what happened to me when I passed out. I remember, I guess the longest I've passed out, I passed out up in my office. Last thing I remember when I passed out in my office, it was 9 o'clock in the morning. And when I finally woke up, I looked at my watch, and it was 12:30. And for 3.5 hours, I passed out. And for 3.5 hours, I couldn't hear. for anybody to talk. It'd be a bad thing for you to faint as a Christian and can't hear from God and can't hear the good news and can't hear that God will be a help. There's people I preach to every Sunday that are there, but their antenna's not up. They fainted. They're not hearing. They're not realizing what I'm saying. Somebody help me preach. And then I tell you, in those hours, I couldn't talk. Hey, you take the voice of a Christian away, the lost are going to go to hell. Hey, if this church loses its voice, what's going to happen to this community? If we faint, somebody help me preach. We won't be able to hear from God, and we won't be able to communicate what God has given us if we faint. Dear Lord, am I helping any of you? Don't faint. Oh, listen to me. I'll tell you what else happened. You'll lose your dignity. I remember, and I'm not trying to tell this as a funny, funny story. It was funny, but I don't want it to come across that way. I was in Baptist church and preaching, and a lady come forward. And I guess she was sick, under a burden. And when she came forward, she fell and passed out. Well, her dress went everywhere. I was quick enough to see it, and I took my coat off and covered her up. But for about a minute or 30 seconds, she lost her dignity. I mean, she was so embarrassed. I want you to know something. You pass out, you faint spiritually, you're going to lose your dignity. People ain't going to look at you looking at a person with honor. They're going to see a disgrace. They're going to see somebody clear out of tune. Somebody help me preach. I know this coronavirus is bad, but there is no time to faint. We don't want to lose our dignity. And I'll tell you the worst part of it. That day I passed out for 3.5 hours. I got up and I got me some orange juice and drank it and kind of revived myself. Then I sat down in my office. I tried to rationalize what had happened in those 3.5 hours. And I tell you what happened. I found out I couldn't regain that time that I was passed out. There's some of you better hear me out. You pass out spiritually and you do it for a while, you'll not regain that lost time. How many souls could you reach? How many people could you influence? How much of a blessing could you have been? And you'll not get it back. No. You'll not get it back. These months and these years that you've been away from God, you've influenced your children. And now they're a mess. Your life has been a mess. And you know what? Some of you said, I wish I could go back and do it again. I wish I could go back and fix my mess. You can't. You can't. You can't. There's no going back and fixing it. You'll lose that time. That time you could have been an influence on your children. That time you could have nurtured your wife. That time you could be a blessing to the community. You'll not get it back. No. You fainted. You've lost that. God help us. Faint not. I'm done. Tyler, let's go down front. I don't want to leave you in a mess here. We got the complaint. We got the cause. We got the characteristics. But how about the cure? I tell you what, let's say if Tyler's getting ready to pass out, how in the world could he keep from falling and hurting himself? I'll tell you, the first thing you need to do in the cure, you need to lean on somebody. Now, I got him. He may pass out, but I got a hold of him. And he's leaning on me. I'm going to get him back. I'm not going to let him go all the way out. He's leaning on somebody. You said, Preacher Smith, who do I need to lean on? First of all, you need to lean on your Savior. Ain't nobody ever cared for you like Jesus. Ain't nobody ever been a friend to you like Jesus. You need to lean on him right now. Oh, hallelujah. You need to lean on him. You need to lean on the Savior. But you need to lean on the Scripture. I'll tell you how I can keep you from fainting, Jared. If you'll just keep your Bible open every day. And lean on your Bible. Lean on the Scripture. Oh, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You said, where'd you find that at? In the Bible. I found the Bible that he never leave me nor forsake me, but go all the way with me. I found that in the Bible. Whew. So we need to lean on the Savior. We need to lean on the Scripture. But we need to lean on the saints. Find somebody that's positive and loves God and lean on them. Now, I tell you what's wrong with some of you. You go get hang around all the negative people. Hey, there's some of my people in my church. You hang around people that's negative, and you've become negative. Your attitude's bad because you're hanging around with negative. And you're listening to garbage, and you never want the truth. You don't want to hear what the preacher says. You want to hear what the gossip says. Good preaching. You need to lean on a saint. But oh man. Now, what else cure? If this old boy's getting ready to pass out, tell you what they used to do with me. They'd take a rag and some water. And what, don't that feel good, son?
Yes, sir.
Oh, see, the water revived him up. Somebody help me preach. The water lifted him up. And you know what the water is in the Bible? It's the Word of God. There ain't nothing we need more than preaching. And the Word of God. And the Word of God will revive you. The Word of God will give you strength. The Word of God will perk you up. Hallelujah. Now, tell you the third thing and I'm done. All right, Tyler. You're getting ready to pass out, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
If I know he's going to pass out, and I don't want him to hurt himself, here's what I want him to do. Tyler, buddy, Neil. If I get him down, he ain't going to hurt himself. He ain't got nowhere to fall. Now listen to me. Unsaved man, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. You're fainting. You're buckling under pressure because you don't have Jesus. You need to get down on your knees and repent of your sin. And ask Jesus to come into your life. And the blood of Christ will wash it from all sin. You've got to get down. Christian, you've got too much pride in you, don't you? You wouldn't have fainted if you didn't have all that pride. You know what you need to do? You need to get down. Instead of falling, you need to fall on your knees. And you need to repent of your sin. And say, God, I'm sorry for fainting. God, I'm sorry that I've let you down. God, I don't want to do this again. You've got to get down right there at your couch. Get down there in the kitchen and bow your head and repent. I hope that when we get back from this pandemic, I get to see your face. You can get up, Tyler. I hope I get to see you. I hope that you haven't become a casualty. I hope you're still on the firing line. Lost man, I hope you'll get right with God right now. Don't faint. Don't stop. Oh, I'm so burdened this morning. But I love you. I don't want you to collapse under the pressure. I don't want you to collapse under the persecution, the problems. I want you to lean on God. Learning to lean. Oh, learning to lean. Oh, I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray for those maybe ready to faint. under pressure, have problems and they're perplexed. God, revive them with the water of the word. Help them to get close to you. Lord, touch them in this message and we'll praise you. Save a sinner right now. Reclaim backsliders in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Until next Sunday, or tonight, I mean, sorry. I'm just looking forward to seeing you next Sunday. We'll see you again soon. Keep looking up. Keep trusting. Thank you for listening today, and God bless you.